From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde in for Ross Reynolds. And with us through the magic of radio from Olympia once again is Austin Jenkins. He joins us every Friday to tell us about what's happening down in the state capitol. Austin Jenkins, thanks for taking the time.
Good afternoon, David. Good to be here.
So I want to talk about these proposed marijuana rules. I understand there's 46 pages of draft regulations, which I have not read, but I think you've read at least some of it. What are some of the key points in these draft regulations?
Well, the easiest way to think about this is that they're sort of divided up by producer or grower, processor, and then retailer. So it's sort of three sections, and you're talking about regulations dealing with all of those parts of the legal recreational marijuana trade. And so it deals with everything from what, for instance, a grower would have to disclose the kinds of pesticides that they're using on the marijuana and would have to have security in place to pretty certain specifications on premises. All the way to the sale end of things, we're talking about the kinds of signs that can be used to advertise, the hours of the stores, and what can and can't be sold in the stores.
So 46 pages, I imagine some people were happy with them. Some people probably had some criticisms.
Yes, both. Generally, I think that the reception from people like Allison Holcomb at the ACLU, who shepherded the I-502 measure to victory last November, was generally very complimentary of the Liquor Control Board. What they're doing here is they're basically releasing pre-draft rules, because once they really get into drafting the final rule, as I understand it, it's very hard to make major changes. So this is sort of letting people have at it, and then they'll have some time to make adjustments before they really go into the pretty structured rulemaking process. The biggest criticism I'm hearing right now is something that's kind of embedded in there, and it has to do with the process of extracting high-concentrate THC from the plant and putting it into, for instance, hash is the term you often hear, or wax. And that's often smoked or vapor inhaled, actually, these days. It's also infused into products. And what the board is saying is that if it is infused into a product, that's legal, but it's not legal to sell this hash oil or hash or wax or shatter in the stores alongside regular bud. And that is getting a lot of pushback from the people who want to be in the business of selling this high concentrate extract. But Allison Holcomb at the ACLU says this could present a problem, because then if the courts agree, somebody in possession of one of these high concentrate products could face arrest and prosecution. So she's saying the board's going to have to get a better definition on this, and the legislature may at some point have to step in.
And Austin, there's also a word in these 46 pages of draft regulations that I hadn't heard before, at least not in this context, smurfing. What is smurfing?
Yeah, me neither. Well, apparently smurfing is when you try to, in small quantities, build up a large quantity of something. And so in this case, the context is going in and making repeated buys of the legal products so that then you have enough to go and sell illicitly. And this seems to be more of a concern in Colorado than here in Washington, according to a really interesting story that Bob Young wrote in the Seattle Times this morning, where he basically noted that Colorado has a stricter rule about how much an out-of-state person could buy from a Colorado recreational marijuana retailer. Washington is not capping that amount. The one little point I would make here, though, is that this is going to be a highly regulated and highly taxed product, and there's still going to be a medical marijuana marketplace at this point out there that won't be taxed, and there will also, no doubt, still be something of a black market. So the extent to which a person from out of state would be coming in to buy highly taxed Washington pot and then taking it back over to state lines to sell it in the black market, I'm not sure that the supply-demand economic model works there. But I will also tell you that a huge concern of the feds, and as a result a huge concern of Governor Inslee, is the idea of leakage. Washington pot, legal Washington pot, getting outside of the borders of Washington state. That's where the feds could start to get very interested and very concerned. And so there's a lot in this about tracking and traceability of Washington marijuana and labeling it so that you know where it came from.
Tracking, traceability, smurfing, and leakage. There's a lot coming
great
out this
terms,
week.
Aren't they? Yes.
So the special session also started this week. It's kind of like the postseason. This is where the real business happens. Are you seeing any signs of compromise between Democrats and Republicans who are in control of the Senate right now?
I would say I'm not seeing signs of compromise, mainly because they are being very quiet about what they're doing. But there are signs of meetings happening and negotiations underway. The way that I determine or ascertain this is by wandering around the Capitol and running into people. I mean, literally, this is reporting by walking about. So I just literally ran back to my desk to talk to you from the basement of the Capitol. There's a little cafeteria there, and the House Democratic budget negotiators were picking up their lunch. Ross Hunter would only say, we have been meeting extensively and we're working hard to get it done before July 1, which is when the new fiscal year begins. And we also ran into Senator Mark Schessler, the Republican leader in the Senate. He, too, was very unwilling to talk about the state of negotiations. He was headed home back to his Eastern Washington district, but basically said, hey, we're meeting, and if you're not meeting, you're not going to be making progress.
Education reform has been the big issue for Senate Republicans this year, one of the big issues, at least. Is there any part of that they're kind of drawing the line in the sand, saying, you know, this is the point of compromise, this is what we really would like to see happen?
Big picture, they're going to have to come up with a dollar amount to fund the down payment for the McCleary decision on the state not adequately funding public education. And, you know, that's probably give or take $1 billion. But they have to come to some agreement on what's that number going to be, and then where does the money come from? And, of course, the tension has been that the House Democrats and the governor have said, if you do that and you don't raise taxes through closing tax exemptions, extending expiring taxes, then you hurt the social safety net. And the mostly Republican Senate majority has been saying, no, it's possible to fund public education to the tune of $1 billion more and not raise taxes. So that's kind of the big picture stuff. More specifically, there are going to be fights over how you spend that money. And I think the example I often give, but it's probably the most salient one, is the plan right now, because there's already pre-existing legislation in place that's just waiting for funding, is to spend some of that money in reducing K through 3 class size. That's not where the Senate majority thinks the money is best used. And so there's going to be differences and fights over that's a great example of how to spend the new money on education once they decide how much money that's going to be and where it's coming from.
Austin, I got time for maybe 30 seconds, maybe one more question. Dino Rossi was in town this week down in Olympia. What was he doing there?
10 years ago, he was negotiating as Ways and Means chairman a budget with a Democratic House. He's a Republican, with a Democratic House and a Democratic governor, then Gary Locke. It took him past a regular session. They got it done. So he was giving some advice and counsel to the Senate majority. And apparently, well, he told me, giving them some CHOP advice on negotiating with Speaker of the House Frank CHOP, who's a notoriously shrewd negotiator.
Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Austin Jenkins is KUW's Olympia correspondent. You can hear his reports here on KUW, and you can hear him every Friday here on The Conversation.